Well, hello there. You are about to enter the mind of the mindset maniac. Your mindset is the most important part of your existence. Don't believe me? You will. With a healthy, adaptive, and expansive mindset, you can achieve anything, and you can learn to use every challenge in your life to benefit you in some way. I am here to teach you all the ways your mindset dictates your current experiences in life and ultimately your future. This podcast will teach you applicable tools and resources that you can start applying today to improve your life. So what are we waiting for? Let's go ahead and jump right in. What is up, my friends? Welcome back to another episode of The Mindset Maniac. I am Leslie Krivar, your host and Mindset Maniac. And today, it is a lovely day here in Ohio. It is warming up. We're having one of our false spring days. I think there's these like sayings here in Ohio where it's like when we're in winter, we get like, you know, a certain amount of fake out days where it's like we think that winter's over and then it'll snow again and then we'll think it's like spring and then it'll snow again and then we'll think it's spring and then it'll like hail. And so we'll get a fair amount of those between now and like when it's actually spring. But you know what? I will take today with the sun shining. I think it's going to get up to like 60. And, you know, if you live in Ohio, after you go through the winter, once it hits 60, people just like start walking around in shorts and sandals. So I'm sure there's going to be some of that happening today. I know that Watson was already out in his short sleeve shirts and sandals and shorts today, this morning when it was like only 50 degrees. But that kid just feels no cold. Like cold does not affect him. He is not my child in that way. I am like sitting in the sun right now and I have a blanket on my lap. So yeah, you know, we're just different kind of humans. But it's lovely out. The birds are chirping out my window. The birds are also chirping in my garage because yes, our little baby chicks have arrived. If you follow along on in my emails, you will or you may know that a few months ago, we purchased our first little animals for our farm. And so 16 baby chicks arrived a few days ago, just one day old, and they are just the cutest things ever. And even just a few days in, they are just growing so quick already. They are so fast. We try and get out there and hold them like multiple times a day because we heard or we researched that that will make them more friendly and, you know, just easier to like, I don't know, enjoy and be around socially. So we're trying to do that, but they are so fast. It's just, it's wild. So we're having so much fun with that. But I wanted to pop in here today and talk with you about questions. And to specifically talk to you about the questions that you ask and how they, you know, what they end up doing for you in your life and in the way that you experience life. And I'm sure you've heard the saying, and I'm not good with sayings, I butcher everything, but let's see if I can get this like one kind of right. The saying of the quality of the questions you ask will determine the quality of the answers you get. I think that's it. I think I nailed it. And, you know, when we hear this, we often think about having a conversation with someone else, right? You're having a conversation with them, you're asking them questions. And of course, like the quality of the questions you ask is going to determine the quality of answers that you get from them. But the way that I want to think about this today and the direction I want to take this conversation in today is to think about the quality of the questions that you ask yourself and how those questions will determine the actions that you take and inevitably the life that you will create. And so recently I was listening to a coach of mine talk about this topic in some way, and they were referencing an old Tony Robbins concept that he calls primary questions. And the idea is that we all have a primary question that we are asking in life, And most of the time, this question is kind of like running in the background. It might be like subconscious, might even be unconscious. And I don't know. I think that there's layers to this. It's not just like one question. And I also think that we have like questions that could be kind of just like floating around in the back of our mind for maybe that day or maybe that week. There could also be a primary question that's just coming up in that phase of life for you, maybe just like that year. And maybe for some people, there's a primary question that is just with them throughout their lifetime. So I want you to pause here for a moment and to start thinking about the questions you might be consciously, unconsciously, subconsciously asking yourself. Maybe on a daily basis, maybe on, you know, a weekly basis, maybe based on like what's happening in your life right now. Maybe it's a question that has just been with you forever. I want you to think about what that might be for you. And you really have to like, I said pause for a reason because you have to access this. You have to allow it space to float up because it's not something that's going to be just right there, readily available for most of us, where we're like, oh yeah, that's what I think about all the time. So let me give you an example of something that I hear come up often. So let's say that you are someone who has always struggled with your weight. And when you sit and think about maybe a question that has just been with you forever, what you recognize is that you've unconsciously carried this primary question around with you of why can't I lose weight? And so when we have a question like that, why can't I lose weight? What happens next is your brain will just go to work to answer this question. Our brains are very efficient. They don't like open loops. They like things to be like answered and clear. And so the brain will find a way to answer this, even if this question is not conscious to you. And those answers might sound like, if we, you know, we were going to access them, it might sound like, I can't lose weight because I've just never been able to, or I don't know how to, or I can't lose weight because I can't stick to anything, or nothing works for me, or I can't lose weight because I don't have motivation, or I've never had the right resources. And so what we see is that this primary question of why can't I lose weight? And I would even maybe identify this as an indulgent question, meaning it doesn't get you anywhere. It keeps you spinning right where you are, and it kind of produces more evidence for the very situation that you don't want to be in. What this question does is produces answers that then create actions that keep you in this helpless place, right? That's the whole idea behind an indulgent emotion or an indulgent thought. An indulgent question does the same thing. It doesn't get you anywhere. You just continue to spin on it. Because if I'm thinking, I can't lose weight because I can't ever stick to anything, I'm probably going to feel pretty down on myself. Or if I'm thinking I can't lose weight because, you know, I've never had the right resources, I'm going to feel like a victim, right? I'm going to be thinking this isn't fair. I don't have what other people have. And I'm going to feel just like helpless. Or if I'm thinking I can't lose weight because I just don't have motivation, I'm going to feel hopeless. I'm going to be thinking, what's the point, right? I don't have motivation, can't do it. None of these questions produce answers that are going to be helpful if we're trying to lose weight, if that's what we want. And the problem I'm trying to solve in this scenario is I want to lose weight. So we can't do it this way. We can't do it by asking ourselves this kind of question, why can't I lose weight? it's not, we can see as we answer it. And as we answer, like what that answer gives us as far as what kind of like springboard we would have to take an action, we can see why this question really isn't great, why it really doesn't help us. But what would happen if instead of saying, why can't I lose this weight? Why can't I never lose weight? What if we changed the quality of this question? Think about it. If I asked, instead of why can't I lose weight, I asked, I wonder how I can make losing weight more fun, or how could I make this the last year I ever struggle with my weight? Different answers immediately start floating up. Right? And they might not be like the end all be all answers, like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what to do now. But they are vastly different types of answers than when I say to myself, why can't I lose weight? Right? I wonder how I can make weight, I wonder how I can make losing weight fun. That produces very different answers. And how can I make this the last year I ever struggle with my weight? That produces very different answers. All of a sudden, the brain has to work a little bit differently when we ask questions like this, right? What would I have to do to have fun while I'm losing weight? That's interesting. Maybe I'd have to find enjoyment in cooking. Maybe I'd have to find a fun workout partner or start an active hobby that I actually enjoy. And then guess what? Maybe weight loss happens, right? Because we're enjoying it. We're more likely to do it and stick with it forever because now we've found a way to make losing weight fun or enjoyable. And if we answer the question of how could I make this the last year I ever struggle with my weight, think about how vastly different the answers to this question would be versus like, why can't I lose weight? When the brain answers this question, it has to explore. It's like, if I want this to be the last year I ever struggle with my weight, one, what does that mean? Right? Like, what does that mean that I am never going to struggle with my weight again? Does that mean I just accept my weight and it just isn't a struggle anymore? And if that's the answer, okay, well then maybe that leads me to a much different action of like continuing to like yo-yo diet and restrict myself. Maybe that means like I hire a therapist or a coach to help me with self-love or acceptance if my goal is just to never see my weight as a struggle anymore. Or maybe it means that I don't struggle in the process of losing it. Like I just make it easy for myself to do what I need to do and stop creating all this drama and, you know, letting myself down and not like keeping myself accountable. Then we get to ask ourselves, awesome, what would that look like? What would those actions have to be? What would I be doing differently if I just make this easy for me, if losing weight is easy for me? So you can see how the shift in the question creates completely different answers and in turn, different actions. So I was thinking about this concept for myself and how I've seen this quality of my questions, how I've seen the quality of my questions impact me. So for example, almost 8 years ago, I found myself in a really challenging phase of life after my son was born. And, you know, we had a complicated labor and delivery, and my body was just in a really, really bad place physically. And mentally, I was in a really tough place for a really long time with this as well. And the primary question that I didn't consciously realize that I just continued to indulge in and spin on was this question of why me, right? Why me? Which of course put me in a victim mindset. Why me? The answer to that, if I, you know, consciously was answering it, even though I was answering it, like my brain was finding evidence to support all of these like answers. But those, if I had to like spell out the answers that were coming up, it would have been something like, you know, this isn't fair. I don't know why this is happening to me. Or sometimes the why me would lead me to like answering it in a way where I was blaming myself or blaming other people. And this was just energy that didn't serve me. It was a perspective that didn't serve me, and it created feelings inside of me that ultimately led me to take action or not take action that kept me in this like victim place. So when I was indulging in this question, I took frustrated action, I took resentful action, angry action, and I'm sure you can imagine what that created in my life and how I experienced life and how people experienced me. And then about 2 years, yes, it took a while, but about 2 years into it, thanks to some amazing coaches and this very type of mindset work that I share with all of you, I noticed this question just begin to organically shift. And I noticed that I was no longer asking myself, why me? But the question had actually changed to, why not me? Which is really interesting. Now, this question may not have worked for everyone as far as creating a shift in a positive direction. And I'm going to get to a point on this in just a moment around how we find the question that works for us and why it's so important to make sure that we have a question that works for us and doesn't just sound good or isn't just a question that worked well for someone else. But for me, when I asked myself, why not me? It immediately took me out of that victim seat in my life. Because when I answer, why not me? I have this like, I don't know, this response, this energy of like, yeah, why not me? This is part of life. And I'm not saying I like this, but these kind of things happen. And why would I think that I am immune to it, right? Or like that this wouldn't happen to me. So thinking about it in that way, this kind of like, yeah, why not me? That opened up space for me to then take the follow-up question and kind of see what action would be created when I would say, so if the answer is, if like the question is why not me and I'm in agreeance with it with where it's like, yeah, why not you? Then the follow-up to that becomes like, then what do I want to do with this? If this is the reality that I have and I'm not going to fight it and I'm not going to argue with it and do the why me type of thing, and thinking that this shouldn't have happened, then I'm in a place where I can start to accept what this reality is, accept the circumstance. And honestly, it's funny because the why not me didn't take away the thought of like, this isn't fair, but it shifted it to like, yeah, this isn't fair, but also life isn't fair. And that in itself kind of makes it fair because for the things that like I do have that are wonderful that other people don't have, that's not fair. But for this specific circumstance that I'm like, this really sucks and why do I have to deal with this but someone else doesn't, like that's not fair. So it's that 50-50 that I talk about often where life balances itself out and the very fact that it isn't fair is what makes it fair in a lot of ways. So that's one way that I like, as I started to think about this and think about these primary questions that I've noticed be themes in my life, that's one way that I've noticed it come up. I've also used this concept with myself and with clients when it comes to things like relationships or their jobs or living situations, any circumstance. And I want you to listen to a couple of these examples, and I want you to think about the differences here. If you were, you know, if I was talking to someone who was single and they were asking themselves the question of, you know, why am I single or why can't I meet the right person versus the question of how can I have more fun while I'm single? Or how can I enjoy the process of looking for the right person? Or maybe even, how can I make sure that I'm the right person? Think about it. Think about the different answers that come up for those questions versus the first ones that I presented. What about this scenario with business? Think about these questions. Why is running a business so hard? Why isn't my business successful? When are the problems going to end? I want you to think about the answers that come with those questions. Versus, how can I make running a business easy? How can I make this year the most successful year yet? How can I make or create more solutions for my business this year? Think about how different, like what the different actions would be that would come out of all of these answers, right? If I'm answering the question, how can I make running a business easy? When I'm answering that and I'm like, okay, I could make it easy by doing this, this, and this, and this, versus answering the question, why is running a business so hard? Like, compare and contrast those answers. And what I find so fascinating is that our brains just like offer us these questions that are so not helpful. Like, why is it even helpful to ask, why is running a business so hard? And I'm a big like advocate of answering every question that our brain presents to us for the simple fact of just like calming it down and understanding that like we're closing that loop. We have an answer to this. This isn't even a question that we need to like worry about, but here's the answer. And we can do that usually very quickly. But it's always so fascinating to see and experience like what questions are just offered up and a lot of times like how useless they are. Like if I was sitting there with this question of like, why is running a business so hard? I would be like, girl, let's say this to myself, girl, why are you even asking this question? Like, how is this serving you? If you want to figure out like specifically for you why you're having such a hard time, ask that question in a much different way. Because the way it's presented there, why is running a business so hard? It gets us nowhere. So it's so important to be auditing the questions that we're asking ourselves, whether it is like conscious or like I said before, most of the time unconscious, because these questions, one way or the other, we're answering and we're continuing to find evidence to support them as we're out like living our day-to-day life. And that is what creates the life that we live, the actions that we take, the results that we create. So here's an important caveat to all of this. If you're listening to this and you're like, all right, I am ready to take back healthy control of the primary questions that are running in my brain. I notice, I'm recognizing that it's this, and now I'm going to change it. I want a different one that's going to produce better answers and that's going to create some aligned action towards a goal or the life that I want. The thing that you want to really, really be aware of is that it's very important that while you're doing this revamping of your question that you're asking yourself, that you check in with how your question makes you feel before you just like you're off to the races answering it. And you want to make sure that you don't just have a beautiful question that sounds lovely if like as you are thinking about it and kind of holding that question, you realize that you don't feel lovely in it or that you don't align with it. So for example, if you are, let's say you're a business owner and you are trying to create a intentional primary question of how can I make this the most successful, like financially successful year I've ever had, the most financially successful business year yet. That's a question that you're like, oh, I'm going to ask myself that. Yeah, that's a good one. But let's say that you're coming off of a year where you completely burnt yourself out. Maybe that's not the question for you. Because maybe that question sounds lovely and it sounds like it's going to produce like a lot of aligned action because you're like, yeah, I want to be successful. But as you ask yourself that question, you notice that it produces this feeling inside of you that maybe feels like nervous overwhelm or stress or fear versus like if you were in a different place in your business or maybe you're coming off of a different type of year and you asked yourself this question and you noticed that you felt nervous but like nervous excited, or you asked yourself this question and you felt motivated or you felt creative or you felt inspired. So what we want to make sure that we're doing with this kind of question process to like really figure out what kind of springboard we want to create for ourselves is we want to check in with ourselves with this question. The right question for me might not be the right question for you. And also the right question for me this year might not be, most likely won't be the right question for me next year. I can say with absolute certainty, the questions that I'm asking myself this year and the answers that I have and the actions I'm taking from them now would not have applied, would not have even made sense to ask myself next year, last year. So we always want to take that into consideration as well, because we all have this inner wisdom, as I always say, inside of us that will guide us if we're listening and if we are in tune with it and we honor it. It will guide us as to like if this is the right direction to go or not. But we have to create space for that. So here's what I want to leave you with today. I want you to think about your primary questions that have not been conscious for you. And I think a lot of times it's fun to think about like phases of our life that were challenging for us and to recognize like what question, what we were consistently asking ourselves. And then go back and be like, huh, I wonder what would have happened if I would have asked it this way. So I like to do that first. I'm a person that likes to see evidence for how this all works by going back to the past sometimes. And then what I would encourage you to do is to look at life as it is for you right now and to think about the things that you are focused on. So maybe you're focused on your family, or maybe you're focused on building a business, or maybe you're focused on your health, or maybe you're focused on finding a partner. Whatever it is that you're focused on, I want you to scan for that primary question that is kind of rolling around in the back of your head and see if that question is serving you and start brainstorming other questions that you could consciously ask yourself. How can I have more fun this year? How can I love my partner more than they have ever been loved in their entire life? How can I have the most fun ever in my business this year? How can I lose weight this year and make it super fun? How can I stick to all my protocols in a way that feels easy and light, right? So taking these things that are important to you and creating questions that like turn them on their side and allow you to look at them with fresh energy, different angles, that's going to create different answers and absolutely 100% different springboards for action that you haven't taken in a way that you've never taken that action before. So that is what I want to leave you with today, my friends. Give it a try. Feel free to share with me your successes and your takeaways. Love to hear it all. My email is in the show notes. As I say each and every time, let's live a meaningful life, my friends, and we will chat so soon. Hey, thanks so much for listening along with me today. I hope you found this episode helpful, and if you could do me a solid, drop me a 5-star rating below, and please comment what you liked about this podcast and how it was helpful for you. And if it was, I would love for you to share this with a friend. That is one way that I can continue to grow this podcast, reach more people, and continue to spread the good word. Also, make sure you hit subscribe on your way out so that you never miss an episode with myself, the Mindset Maniac. I'll see you here next time.